Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Father, we adore your name. Thank you because our God. Thank you because our Redeemer. Thank you because you are the horn of our salvation. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege given to us to be called your children. Thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to gather together to worship you. Blessed be your name. Lord, the hour has come for your word to go out. Lord, I tap into the realm of the heavenlies and I access the arena of the realm of your word this morning. The Lord, you will give unto us insight. You will give us understanding. Above all, you will give us a doing spirit. Your word will not fall to the ground without fulfilling the purpose for which it is sent this morning. At the end of it, of this word, Lord, we shall be blessed. Blessed be your name, O Lord. I come against every spirit that buys and sells, every merchandising spirit, every spirit of distraction. I come against you this morning in the name of the Lord of hosts. Let the fire of the Lord consume you. Your enterprise has failed. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. I want to give God the glory. Let's joyfully have our seat. I want to give God the glory and the honor this morning for the privilege I have to be called a child of God. I want to thank God this morning for the opportunity I have to share the word of God. I want to thank the leadership of the ministry for giving me this privilege. And I pray that God is going to reach out to us through this word today in the name of Jesus. For those of us that were here in the morning for the workers' prayer meeting led by our brother Dr. Temitope Ojo, I want to say that the message I have, the word God has given me today, has been preached. Part of it has been preached in the morning during the workers' prayer meeting. He didn't know when I gave him a warm hug, even though he deserves more than that. I hope I'm going to give him more. Hallelujah. This morning, the Lord has placed it in my heart to share on the topic that I call From Vine to Wine. From vine to wine. I may sound a bit academic so that we can have a grasp of the topic, but I want to say emphatically that this message is metaphorical. It's actually a metaphor. So we are going to be digging into the topic literally, and I'm also going to be bringing out, by the grace of God, the metaphorical aspect of it as God will be opening our eyes. Media, help me to project the book of Isaiah chapter 24, verse 10. I want to read verses 10 to 12 of Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24, from verses 10 to 12. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. Verse 11. Okay, there is a cry for wine. In the streets, all joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. Verse 12. In the city is left desolation. The gate is smitten with destruction. Still Isaiah, the book of Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16. Isaiah 29, verse 16. Isaiah 29, verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? This morning, at the workers' prayer meeting, our brother, like I said earlier on, led us in the prayer, and the title of his brief exhortation, a very powerful one, was Your Identity in Christ. He read the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God was talking about why he created us, the purpose for our creation. He cited, made mention of the book of, though he didn't quote it, Matthew chapter 5, where we have, from verse 13, where we have the name given to us, ye are the light of the world. If I say ye are the salt of the earth. Before he now said, ye are the light of the world. But he made an emphasis by saying that if salt loses its flavor, it has no purpose again. It's going to be cast down, thrown on the floor. It will be trampled upon under the feet of men. Likewise, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. That's not the purpose of the light. The light is meant to give light. Candle is meant to give light. Bulb is meant to give light. So this morning, I'll be talking about from vine to wine. The vine there is actually the woody creeping plant that bears the grapevine. And the grapevine is the major raw material for wine production. Of course, we know wine. If I ask you, do you like wine? You want to say yes. Everybody likes wine. Even our father in the Lord likes wine. I know that one. Abisa, everybody likes wine. So, but where I'm going really is this. Fruit wine, sir. Fruit wine. I mean non-alcoholic wine, fruit wine. We are talking about grape wine now. Hallelujah. Wine is good. Wine is age-long. Wine is desirable. Wine is what is used where you have joyous event or joyous occasion. But let me tell you that it takes from vine to wine a process. But before I go into the nitty-gritty of it, I want to say that wine has health benefits. It has health. That's why Apostle Paul told his son in the Lord, that's Timothy, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, he told him to be drinking a little wine for his stomach or health sake. In fact, research has shown that wine actually, red wine made from grape, actually contains a bioactive substance that is called resveratrol. That resveratrol prevents, it has anti-inflammatory properties. It has these polyphenolic properties that prevent the growth of cancer, diabetes, and there's a disease they call Alzheimer's disease or something. Dr. Ayola is a medical doctor. He will know how to pronounce that. So don't let me go into the details so that my jaw will not be broken. Where I'm going this morning, from vine to wine, the message is divided into three parts. I'm going to be speaking by the grace of God on those three parts as time will permit us. The first one is purpose. The second one is process. And the third one is product. So it's a tripodal, you know, message. What is your purpose in life? Purpose has been defined as a blueprint. According to this message, the message I'm giving this morning is a blueprint for your life. It's a template God has given you. And let me say that purpose is synonymous with destiny. You know, in the morning we talked about, our brother led us in the prayer, we prayed about destiny. What is your purpose in life? The purpose of the vine is to produce wine. The purpose of this microphone I'm holding is to ensure that when we have a large audience like the church, everybody can hear me. Provided that the amplifier is working, provided there is light, provided there is battery in this cordless or wireless microphone. So all the factors put in place, the purpose of this microphone is to make sure that you hear me when I speak from here. I don't need to stress myself. So if this microphone is not functioning, it is not living up to its purpose, it's not living up to its destiny. The purpose of Cedar Generation is written in the vision of Cedar, is written in the mandate of Cedar. Do you have a purpose? Our Father and the Lord, sometimes ago, I think on two or three occasions, he has shown us his own statement of purpose. And that has formed the framework of everything he does in life, whether in the administration, whether in the secular life, whether in the spiritual life, everything is framed around its purpose. So I ask you this morning, do you have a purpose? When our brother was taking us, I will be referring to you once in a while, he said that your identity in Christ. Then my spirit jumped. The name that I bear is not really my identity. The face I carry is not really my identity. My look is not really my identity. My identity is in the purpose that God has given me. It's in my destiny. That's my divine blueprint. So anybody who fails to live according to his divine purpose is a failure to his generation. May you not be a failure to your generation in the name of Jesus. Purpose is synonymous with destiny. It is the divine blueprint for God's creature. So whether you, living being or non-living being, God has created us for a purpose, for a reason. It is now left for us to fulfill that purpose. My Monroe of Belezean memory said, without purpose, abuse is inevitable. If I don't know the purpose of this microphone and I turn it upside down, they won't get to hear me because I'm not handling it. I'm not using it appropriately. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, where we have the parable of the talents, one of them did not know the purpose for which the talent was given to him because he believed his master was a wicked one. And that one, you know, was contained in his statement. When the one given five gave account of the five, he traded with it, made extra five, another five. The one given two traded with it as well, he got another two. But that one that was given one, we know the story, went to bury it. And when the day of accountability came, he didn't have anything to account other than to allege his master as a wicked master. God has given us in different dimensions. He has given us purpose that we need to run with. Just like the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, say, run with the vision. Say, write the vision and make it plain on the table so that whoever sees it, we run. Do you have a purpose in life? Let me say that it begins with discovery. Have you discovered your own purpose? Have you discovered your own divine blueprint, that which God has given unto you? Have you discovered it? Hallelujah. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. Somebody who has not discovered his or her own purpose will be running another person's race. Everything goes for that person. There's a saying that if you don't stand for something, then you fall for everything. Maybe you are serving another man's purpose. You don't have your own purpose, or you are yet to discover. Maybe I should put it that way. You are yet to discover your own purpose. Not that you don't have it, but you are yet to discover your own purpose. And that purpose God has given you is not for you to keep, like that man that went to hide his own talent. The purpose that God has given unto him. You are meant to trade with that purpose. That's the destiny that you are carrying. May God open our eyes of understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. You are not saying amen to that short prayer. May the Lord open our eyes of understanding in the name of Jesus. I put here that fulfillment in life and ministry begins with discovery of purpose. And when you discover purpose, you understand purpose. Like that second scripture that we read, the book of Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16. That will you now accuse, will that which has been formed or made, will he accuse the person who formed it that he has no understanding? So anybody that claims he doesn't have purpose in life, he doesn't have destiny to fulfill in life, that kind of a person lacks understanding. Because the manufacturer, God the manufacturer, has created him or her with a purpose, with an intent in mind. Amen. The vine was created. I thought the media let me project that particular. Please let me project it where we have the title of the message. I have a graphic there. This is the vine. And this is the wine. In between the vine, these are grapefruits. In between the vine and the wine is this called process. And I'm going to be delving, taking time to talk about this and apply it to our Christian life. I put here that process is a series of actions to achieve an end. So it's a means to an end. It's not an end itself. The raw material involved in the process of wine manufacturing is vine. That's the vine. That's the grape there. And the major steps involved are six in number. The first one is harvesting. The grapes are harvested, they are gathered, they are sorted, they are cleaned, they are washed. So the purpose has been discovered. No farmer goes to harvest without harvesting ripe, you know, grape if you want to make wine, because it has to be sweet. So you don't use unripe grape to make wine. So in other words, when you discover your purpose or your destiny in life, you are fully ripe for harvesting. You are good to go. You are good to launch out. Just like the farmer who harvests the grapevine, harvests with the mind that these grapes are meant for this, you know, is set for the process of making the wine. That's when it gets to the hand of the manufacturer. Hallelujah. Number two, I'm going to dwell on that, crushing and pressing. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, Apostle Paul was talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." Verse 9, "Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." The process of making wine, this one, the second, you know, in the process, crushing and pressing. It has to be crushed. And when you talk about crushing, you apply force to crush. You don't crush gently because you want to extract the juice. In the race of life, in the fulfillment of destiny, certain things happen. People are running out of the country because the economy is pressing hard on them. It's crushing a lot of people. Some people who are not traveling, they are trying to cut corners to make ends meet for them. That is not good anyway. It's not good anyway. Apostle Paul said, my own version that I read said, "We are pressed on every side, that we are not crushed." That's what I read in my own version of the Bible. We are pressed on every side, but not crushed. Can you give me Romans 8:18? Romans 8:18 is one of the costs of the process. Romans 8:18, please give it to me. Pressing and crushing in life is part of the process in the race of destiny fulfillment. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The glory which shall be revealed in us. So we need to endure the pressing. So when the situations and circumstances of life seem to be harsh, seems to be difficult, endure the process. The grape will not complain when it is being pressed, when it is being crushed. So don't complain, because this is just a process. Have a mental picture of the future that God is taking you to, and God will take you there in the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be crushed. It's going to be pressed. So in the process of destiny fulfillment, expect crushing. Expect pressing. It is part of the process to get to that end that you are going, which is the finished product. Expect it. When others are cutting corners, refuse not. Solomon was telling his son, he said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Do not listen to the voices of people that say you have to cut corners. Number three stage or process. Number three stage of the step in the process of wine manufacturing is fermentation. Fermentation is just a period whereby the crushed and the pressed wine, the juice from the grapes, is going to stay for some days or weeks or months. for the purpose of fermentation, which is the production of alcohol, fermentation of sugar produces alcohol, produces carbon dioxide as a byproduct, whereby they introduce a microorganism, it can be yeast of any strain, to ferment it in the tank. What is that saying? Is that in the process of destiny fulfillment, in the process of, you know, fulfilling purpose in life, there will be a time that one, it appears as one is being held down, one is being slowed down. It is for the good of that person. It appears at times in the process that one is being held down or one is being slowed down. You know, we are treating it in our Bible study when we talk about delay. Is this something that is a process or is this something that is a problem? For those of us that attend the Bible study, we understand what I'm talking about. So there will be a time it appears as if one is not moving forward, though one needs to check to know whether it's a process or a problem. So it can be part of the process in destiny fulfillment. Wine, during fermentation, you know, it's a microbiological process. It develops flavor, develops color, develops taste in the process of that fermentation. So wine cannot jump the process of fermentation and still want to become wine. It's impossible, not just impossible. It cannot be possible for wine to jump that process. So you cannot circumvent the process and expect to get the good result. Generally, in the process of manufacturing, anyway, in the process of manufacturing, when you have bad raw material, you have wrong process, definitely you cannot get desirable product. So it starts from the raw material, it starts from the process. It starts from the raw material, you know, continues with the process. James chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. Can I have it, please, media? James 5, 7. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," another one says, "the farmer," another version of the Bible says, "the farmer waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain." So, in the process of fermentation, wine cannot complain. That is enough. Come and get me out of the fermenting tank. So in the process of destiny fulfillment, don't complain. When God is holding you to learn certain lessons in life, to ensure that you come out better, to ensure that you come out stronger. So patience is needed in the race to destiny fulfillment. Then the next stage here is clarification. What is clarification? It's just to have separation of the insoluble part of the juice. To separate the soluble part from the insoluble part. It's just like when you say you are sieving. Talk about shell ogi. When you are sieving, you separate the shaft from the real ogi that you are going to be using, you know, as food. What is that saying spiritually? Clarification is talking about sanctification, talking about purification, talking about separation, talking about consecration. You are having purpose, you have identified your purpose, and you are in the process of fulfilling that purpose. We are in a large world, large society where we mingle with different people. People, when I was in school, we call some people NFA. It's not Nigerian Football Association, no future ambition. You have a purpose, they don't have a purpose. So what friendship do you have with them? What friendship do the children of light have with the sons and daughters of Belial? So that one underscores checking our association, our friendship, our relationship with people. People who have no purpose run away from them because they can strangulate one's purpose. They can kill one's purpose in life. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, he's talking about come out of them and be separate. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 is a call for separation. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So if you want to fulfill purpose in life, you want to fulfill destiny in life, you need to separate yourself from the rest of the world. You don't join them, you don't move with them, because they are going nowhere. You have places that you are going to. You have destiny to fulfill. They don't have. So come out from among them and be ye separate. I think the next is aging. Aging. Wine must age. That's the process of becoming matured. It's going to be becoming matured as it stays further on ground after clarification. That's after sieving it. It's going to grow maturely. Let's read the book of 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Okay, maybe I should read from here. 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:20, please. Okay, let me read from here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Albeit in malice, be ye children. Be in understanding. Okay, but in understanding, be men. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Albeit in malice, be ye children. But in understanding, be men. What is this one saying? Maturity. Having discovered your purpose in life and you are on the path of fulfilling, that's a process. You need to be matured. You don't mingle with people who are immatured, people who lack adequate vision of where they are going, of their divine blueprint. And the last process, the last of the process is just bottling, and that is talking about packaging of it. That's when God is showing you forth to the world. That's when your destiny is blossoming. That's when your purpose is being fulfilled. What value are you adding to your purpose in life? Our mommy is there, Mommy Salami, Dr. Adeagbu, Dr. Uju, they are all agriculturists. There is something called value addition. Value addition. Not only in agriculture anyway, value addition. That's when from the raw material up to the product that you buy from the market, value has been added. You know, they call something value chain. Value has been added to it. God has created you for a purpose. God has created you with an intent for a particular reason in his mind. And that's why we are called in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are not even called one person. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's the highest honor that anyone can have. The highest name that anybody can be called. But it's unfortunate that many children of God lack understanding of their identity in Christ, of their personality in Christ. They don't know the purpose. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, counting the cost here, you need to count the costs in the process of destiny fulfillment. Number one, I put here, focus. You don't lose focus. You don't lose sight. There will be a lot of distractions here and there. They are just noise to distract you on the way to destiny fulfillment. So focus is a cost. It's one of the costs that we need to understand if you want to fulfill God's purpose, you want to fulfill divine destiny. You don't lose sight of your purpose. You don't lose sight of your destiny on earth. Number two, effort. It's going to take you a lot of effort. It takes the manufacturer, the person that will produce that wine, a lot of effort, you know, from harvesting, when the farmer harvested and they get the raw materials, they take it to the plant, started crushing. All those processes will take effort takes physical effort, takes spiritual effort. If God has destined you to be great, you don't just sleep and say, God has destined me to be great, and so I'll be great. I'm not saying that you're not going to be great. You have your own role to play. Spiritual effort, physical effort. A student wants to make first class and says, the Bible has said, I shall be the first and not the last, I shall be the head and not the tail. You begin to confess every day. Confess from now till Jesus comes. If you don't read your book, first class is very far from that person. You don't study hard. You don't attend lectures. You don't do assignments. God will help us in Jesus' name. So effort, takes effort, hard work, be diligent. A lot of youth nowadays, they lack these. A lot of vibrant youth, a lot of youth that God has destined to be great, they want to circumvent the process so that they can get the product as fast as possible. They don't make any effort. The only effort they make is to sit down at the corner of a house, and a boy will be acting as a girl, and they'll be acting as an old man in the corner of the room. Number three, cost, time. It takes time for a good wine to be produced. Takes time. The longer it stays fermented, the longer it stays in the process of aging, especially. And that's why they say that old wine tastes better. Old wine tastes better because it has stayed on ground, it has matured fully, it has developed what we call organoleptic properties, you know, in food science. It has developed it. It has aroma. Dr. Olawo is there. So it has aroma, it has taste, it has flavor, everything. You are going to enjoy it more. So you need time to develop. You need time to form. Just like the wine needs time to form, to be developed into that wine that is acceptable, that has, you know, good, desirable, and acceptable quality in the market. So time. You know, like the drama we watch, time is very important. Most youth don't want to wait for their time. Number four I have here is patience. It requires patience. In the process of destiny fulfillment, you need to be patient with God. Because if God says you are going to become it, so, be rest assured that you are going to become it. But God may not give you, in fact, God will not give you the time that you are becoming it. When Joseph had the dream of greatness, remember he had two dreams. I don't want to go into the details of his dreams. He had two dreams that was going to be great at the age of 17. I think he did not become that great until he was 30 years. It took him 13 years for that. So if he had been blaming God and saying, God, you told me I will be great, you showed me. Very clear dreams, you showed me. But that's not come to pass. So be patient. When a 17-year-old boy wants to ride the kind of vehicle that our fathers in the Lord ride, and he or she will not know what they have passed through, where they started from Volkswagen, you know, hallelujah. May God deliver the present generation in the name of Jesus Christ. The present generation don't want to endure. They don't want to be patient. The last one similar to patience I put here is endurance. You need to endure hardship. The grape will not complain. The grape will not murmur. Hardship. Ask our fathers in the Lord during their own student days in schools, what they suffered, when they will do 101, when they will do 001, when they will have two or three clothes to wear, you know, wash and dry. Ask them. A lot of youth will not want to. They want to circumvent. They want to cut corners, cutting the process off. May God help us in Jesus' name. I put here that eventually product. This one portrays fulfillment of your purpose. It talks about satisfaction of, you know, of destiny. When you are satisfied, when your destiny is fulfilled. Let me say that I want to emphasize on old wine tastes better. And this one has to do with relationship. Maybe you are married or you are not married. One day you'll be married in Jesus' name. Nobody said amen. One day you'll be married. If you are not yet married, in Jesus' name. Now, for the married, there's usually this that some men, they will be saying, you are not looking attractive again. You are not looking beautiful again. old wine should taste better. I'm not saying that our mummies should not dress well, at least for your husband. Let us reignite, you know, the passion of love in our relationship, because old wine tastes better. I'm talking about marital relationship. For those who are not married, you don't have any love that you are igniting. So please be warned concerning that. But for the married, ensure that you repackage your marriage. Let your marriage be new to you every day. Let your wife be attractive to you every day. Let your husband look like the way you were married 10, 20, 30 years ago. Unto you. At least beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Old wine tastes better. If you read the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 39, that's where we have that. Now, what are those little foxes that we need to beware of? I want color, KKK, Tomba, Isu Ajaraje. Little foxes that spoil the vine. In the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, that's where we have the scripture. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Number one I put here is disobedience. Disobedience, no matter how laudable your vision, no matter how good your destiny appears to be, if you are a disobedient child, I'm sorry, that person goes nowhere. King Saul disobeyed when he was asked to go to battle, and he was instructed specifically to spare nothing. We know the story. And that one cost him his kingdom. That day his kingdom was rent. That day his kingdom was pulled down. So what are those things that they are telling you that you should do or you should not do that you are doing? There is no halfway obedience. God wants us to obey. So if you walk in obedience in the process of destiny fulfillment, you are going places. So the contrary happens when you walk in disobedience. So obedience is key, very germane. Number two, I put here as covetousness. I studied the life of Gehazi, and I discovered that he would have been great after Elisha, his master, if not because he was covetous. And that is a major issue after disobedience in the present generation. We covet a lot. Because somebody is this, I must be that at all costs. Because somebody has bought this kind of phone, I must buy a higher version. Somebody is using this kind of car, I will make sure I buy 2021 model. Or 2022, maybe it's not even out. You'll be dreaming of having it. Covetousness. We are not satisfied with what God has given unto us. Just like the servant that buried that talent. He felt the person that was given five was given much. He felt the master loved him more than every other one. And the person that was given to at least a one higher than his. Every one of us has been given a measure. Our Father in the Lord taught us a handful of purpose. A measure of purpose. A measure of destiny to fulfill. So the onus is on us to fulfill. So are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you not running the rat race? The third one I put here has to do with the life of Joseph. Sexual immorality. Remember, clarification, separation. That's one of the processes in wine making. Nowadays, a lot of unthinkable acts are happening. Sexual immoralities, you know, pervading the world. Is it lesbianism, they call it? Is it gay? Not only that, is it cohabiting? Among the youth, you have very bright future. Don't allow sexual immorality to rob you of the divine purpose for your lives, of the fulfillment of that purpose in your life. Joseph ran away. He did not wait to argue with Mrs. Potiphar. He took to his heel. The next available space in the window was what Joseph took. But nowadays, we have a lot of youth, you know, romancing with sin. Romancing with, I'm talking about sexual immorality now. If you are among those who do that, the word of the Lord is reaching out to you today. Stop it. So that you don't destroy your destiny. Let me say that destiny can be battered. Destiny can be shattered. Destiny can be slaughtered. The destiny of Samson was slaughtered on the laps of Delilah. A strong man became just on the laps of Delilah. You know, he was also disobedient to his own parents. Marry her for me. You know, he had two marriages. The first one too. Marry her for me. Second one, you have been warned not to go to the unbelievers. And that's another thing. Being unequally yoked with unbelievers. May God help us in Jesus' name. As I'm trying to bring this to a conclusion, Dr. Popola posted some things about 2-3 weeks ago on the family page. Can we have it? It's something I like. I like that. Media, can you please let me put it on the screen? He's talking about, always remember this, that you should trust the process. Can we have it, please? Okay, the content is, before diamond is for, okay, there. Grapes must be crushed to make wine. Diamonds form under pressure. Olives are pressed to release oil. Seeds grow in darkness. If grapes are not crushed, wine will not come out. If diamonds are not subjected to intense pressure beneath the earth's surface, you won't have what we wear as necklaces, as you know, ornaments. Then if olives are not pressed, we won't have what we call oil. You know, we have anointing oil. We use olive oil, you know. Then seeds won't grow. We know the process of photosynthesis and things like that. Seeds grow even in darkness, though it needs light. But it still grows in darkness. Whenever you feel crushed or under pressure or pressed or in darkness, you are in a powerful place of transformation. Trust the process. Do not circumvent the process. Do not cut corners. God will help us in Jesus' name. Shall we rise on our feet? Media, me project the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. We want to pray. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 32 to 33. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 32 to 33. As we are praying. Okay, let me read from here. It says, "For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps." It told us the raw material that goes into production determines the outcome. If the process is duly followed, if the raw materials are bad, then the product will be bad. And vice versa, concerning, you know, the raw material and the process. But in this portion of the Bible, the vine is of the vine of Sodom. So your destiny, is it still intact? Check. That is if you have discovered it. We are going to be praying this morning. Vine and wine can be poisoned, purpose can be battered, and destiny can be slaughtered. We are going to be praying this morning that, Father, enlighten my eyes of understanding to discover my destiny and to fulfill it. That prayer may not sound like a prayer of warfare, but let me tell you something. If you come to this world and you return without fulfilling God's purpose for your lives, then that is a wasted life. May you not live a wasted life in the name of Jesus. Father, enlighten my eyes of understanding to see my destiny, to see my blueprint. And Lord, empower me to fulfill my destiny. Enable me to fulfill my destiny. Open my eyes of understanding. Give me insights. Give me revelation. Open my eyes to see that which you have called me to do on this side of eternity. Enlighten my eyes of understanding to discover my destiny and enable me to fulfill my destiny in life. in the name of Jesus. Every scale covering my eyes of understanding, fall off in the name of Jesus. Another prayer point I want us to pray, that Father, deliver me from every power that does not permit me to tend my own vineyard. We used it to pray sometimes ago in that same book of the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. If you read it, it's talking about that chapter 5, verse 5. He's talking about my own brothers. They do not allow me to tend my vineyard. They are giving me hard labor. I want us to pray, every power that does not permit me to tend down my own vineyard, that's where my destiny fulfillment is, Lord, deliver me from that power in the name of Jesus. It can be power of sin, it can be yoke of sin, it can be burden of immoralities. Lord, deliver me from every power that does not want me to tend down my own vineyard in the name of Jesus. Destroy every power enslaving me from fulfilling my destiny in the name of Jesus. Deliver me from every power enslaving me from fulfilling my destiny in the name of Jesus Christ.
Paliba, Romomokos Kempopo, Shimpoliba, Bakasan Paliba, Bakashim Poligo. Brethren, this morning I want you to know that there's a purpose for your life. But the enemy always targets to abort the purpose. I want to pray that every plan of the enemy to abort your purpose, that today that the Lord will deal with it, that your destiny will not be aborted in the mighty name of Jesus, that your destiny will not be aborted. Can you open your mouth and pray this morning that, Lord, I know you have created me for a purpose, but that purpose will not be aborted by the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Mansa talaba sheheke popos kapaliba rando kapapa skehem prodileba raanda kuske popo shahamba kasampaliba raanda kubaba saamba kantaliba lehense kepo shempolibaba yahriba saambaluga sheheke pepe santalaba lehunsa palaba in the mighty name of Jesus. And sometimes some are already battered because of the wrong route or the wrong process. Can you pray this morning that any area where there has been manipulation or battery of the enemy regarding my life, regarding my purpose, Lord, repackage me for me to fulfill my purpose in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Some people may need to be repackaged by the Lord so that they can fulfill purpose. Can you ask unto God from God, ask God this morning? In any way, the enemy has come in, something of my permission, and has manipulated my life, the process that you have ordained, the enemy has manipulated the door today. Repackage me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, I will fulfill my destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Ma ansa talaba, rinsa han talaba, sheheka papa, skehim prokasapa. Le enda kaska palua se impro gaska imba le ensi pa udalaba skapa paska paliba rahande se poliba in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, this morning we thank you, we bless your name. Lord, thank you for your word that you have sent to us. Lord, I pray this morning that the purpose you have ordained for every one of us shall not be aborted in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Oh Lord, our God, you will help every one of us that which you have ordained for our lives will fully and surely come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I pray that you will help us, that of our own volition will not circumvent the process in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, our God, I ask that you overrule the cancer of the enemy over our lives, over our destiny, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I pray for your servant and your son that you have used this morning. I ask for more grace upon his life, ask for more unction, ask for more anointing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.